portion of God's holy word that we will attend to this morning is Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 through 51, verse 8. John, before you sit down, is the back row of lights off on purpose? Is it off on purpose? If not, let there be light. If it's too, they're off on purpose? Great. Great. Leave them off. Those that want to be in the light, let them be in the light. The passage before us begins on page 611 in the Pew Bible. While you're scrolling there on your phone or opening up in your copy of the scriptures, consider the reality that there are many, many voices vying for your attention. A lot of voices vying for the attention of your ears and your mind and your heart. The news headlines that catch your curiosity or incite your disdain in seven words or less. The mildly human-sounding voices of Alexa and Siri that insert themselves into your daily life. They want your attention. Young children desperate for a parent's attention and affection. Mommy, 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 mommy. Social media feeds that speak to our deepest insecurities and our grandest hopes. All these voices speaking, our own inner voice, that may be rarely externalized, whispering to us, sometimes shouting at us, demeaning demands, or 10 minutes later, grandiose congratulations and praise. The podcasts and articles, the books and the YouTube interviews, each seeming authoritative and deserving of my attention and warranting a share with somebody that needs to hear it. So many voices vying for our attention, some helpful, some not, some wise, some foolish, some voices true, some false, some a combination of both, some voices godly, some demonic. In the midst of so many voices, how are we to discern a voice worth listening to? The Lord helps us discern what is worth listening to by comparing the eternal and the temporal. Things that have eternal value as opposed to things that are of merely passing temporal value. He compares the divine and the human. He compares here in our text what is eternal, what leads to eternal life, and what leads ultimately to eternal death. So then, let us give our attention to the inerrant and authoritative word of God Almighty. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning in verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near me. Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all who All you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One simple question for you this morning. To whom are you listening? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to, and what is that? How is that shaping? How is that voice shaping your life? The voice that you listen to will shape the course of your life, the trajectory for how you live, the things you pursue, the things you find important and valuable. The voices you listen to will in many ways determine the trajectory of your life, what you're living for. So it's a pretty fundamental, pretty important question. To whom are you listening? Last week, we considered the reality from the previous chapter that God has a global rescue plan, a redemption work that he's doing in the world, in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are not only recipients of that mission, but are participants in the mission as well. So, as we go about participating in the Messiah's mission, how do we discern a voice worth listening to? The passage before us speaks into that very question. God indicating to us how we can discern a voice worth listening to. And the first thing we need to notice from the passage is that it is the Lord God who speaks. Multiple times in our text, you'll see the phrase, if you just let your eye fall over it, you see the Lord God in verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 9. Then in verses 11, you see the Lord. Again, down in chapter 51, the Lord in verse 1 and verse 3. It is the Lord God. This is the God who created all things. In your English Bibles, when you see lowercase Lord and capital case uppercase God together, Lord God, like it is in verse 4, that's a translation of the Hebrew phrase Adonai Elohim, the Lord, the God, the Lord God. And when you see Lord in uppercase, that is a translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. This is the covenant name for God. This is how God reveals himself to his people. And we need to take note that it is the Lord who speaks. And in verses 4 through 9, we have a unique section of speech. Chapter 50, verses 4 through 9, are what scholars call, it's a servant song. It's one of the four servant songs in Isaiah. We've considered two of them already, chapter 42 and 49. This is the third here in Isaiah 50. The last servant song comes at the end of 52 and all of chapter 53. But what's going on in these verses, verses 4 through 9, is we essentially have the speech of the Messiah. Now, granted, it is in Isaiah's day, Isaiah spoke these words. So Isaiah the prophet, on one hand, we could see this being spoken of Isaiah the prophet. But considering the context and some of the statements that are made, this certainly can't apply and be about a merely human being. This must only apply to the Messiah, even the Lord Jesus. And what we see about the Messiah in verses 4 through 9 of chapter 50, he has an open ear. That the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is not rebellious, but he's submissive. He's listening. He's attentive. He's learning. Jesus the Christ, the second person of the Trinity, submissively learning, humbly attentive. Our Savior, the one whom we follow in mission, was a humble listener, attentive to his Father. In this, Jesus Christ models for us the humble and attentive listeners that we should be, attentive to the voice of our Father. If the second person of the Trinity, having taken to himself a sinless humanity, found it important, even needed, to listen attentively to his Father, how much more must we who are sinful and prone to take on board false speech and lies, both that we generate and that come to us from the outside, how much more must we who are sinful and prone to being deceived and deceiving others, how much more must we be attentive, humble listeners to the Lord our God? Not only do we have the model of Jesus here in verses 4 through 9, we also have the invitation of God himself. In verse 10 of chapter 50, the text changes from a reflection, basically, from and about the Messiah to an invitation to us, to the listener. Verse 10, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? We have in this text an invitation to listen. We who are caught up in the mission of the Messiah must listen as the Messiah listened. We must listen to the one to whom the Messiah listened. So the Lord tells us in Isaiah 51:1, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Listen to me. He repeats that again in verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. God invites us, even commands us, to listen to him, to allow his voice to be paramount in our ears. In verse 4 of chapter 51, the Lord tells us, give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me. God invites us to listen to him, to give ear to him, to pay attention to him. The Lord wants his people listening to him and to his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that now through his word. This word that God has given to us in the scriptures of Old and New Testament, 39 books in the Old, 27 in the New. This is the authoritative word of God to his people. It is here that we listen for God's speech. It is this to which we attend. and give our humble attention, bowing the knee to the Lord and to his speech in this word. Now, this call to listen to the voice of his servant must not be taken as carte blanche for preachers or leaders to claim authority for themselves. A preacher that tells you, "I'm a preacher, so you have to listen to me," is no longer worth listening to. A preacher who demands you pay attention to his or her authority is not a preacher you need to be attentive to. A preacher is only so good for your soul as they lead you to the Word of God, the voice to which we must be attentive. No leader can claim divine authority apart from the sacred text. The best preachers are the best listeners. That was Jesus' example, wasn't it? The best preacher was also the best listener. So we all are to be attentive, present speaker included, to the Word of God. The Lord not only invites us to listen to him, commands us to listen to him, he then gives us the tools by which we can distinguish truth from error, helping us discern which voices we ought to listen to and which voices we ought to ignore. The text gives a number of characteristics of things that are helpful on one hand or not so helpful on the other. We can think of it this way. In this passage, the Lord distinguishes between what is temporal, what is eternal. He makes a distinction between what is merely human and of human origin and what is divine and therefore weighty, what is ungodly and what is godly. And one of the ways that God primarily does this in this portion of Scripture is by revealing the end of each of these things. What does listening to temporal voices result in? And what does listening to the divine voice, what does obeying the voice of God's servant, the Lord Jesus, what does that result in? I'm just going to run through these briefly. Maybe you want to note them down and go back and study them more closely. But listen to some of the things that result from listening to or living for temporal or human things. Chapter 50, verse 9, futility and destruction. Behold, all of them wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Verse 11, this you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. Those that seek to make a way for themselves, that ignore the voice of the Lord, they shall lie down in torment. Verse 11. Chapter 51, verse 6, the heavens are going to vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. All that is temporal will be ultimately destroyed and by the grace of God remade. But it all wears out. Verse 8 of chapter 51, the moth will eat them up like a garment and the worm will eat them like wool. To reject the voice of the Lord and to listen merely to temporal and human voices leads to futility and destruction. Chapter 50, verse 4, it leads to weariness. It wears you out. It's exhausting trying to listen to every human voice that's out there. It's exhausting. Rejecting the Lord and his servant leads to weariness. It also leads, in verse 7, to shame and disgrace. The reason that the servant of the Lord is not disgraced and is not shamed because he's been trusting in the Lord. He's been attentive to the voice of the Lord. To not be attentive to the voice of the Lord leads to shame and disgrace. Chapter 50, verse 10 speaks of darkness. That not listening to the Lord is like walking around in the dark. Chapter 51, verses 6 and 7 speak of dismay, futility, destruction, weariness, shame, darkness, dismay. The extent to which we experience and walk around in these things is an indicator to us that we've been listening to merely human voices. And maybe that we've been listening to demonic voices. Any voice other than the voice of the Lord leads to shame and weariness, to darkness and dismay, and ultimately to futility and destruction. Those who listen to the Lord, those who live for eternal things, find rest. 50, verse 4. They find vindication from God. 50, verse 8. They find help. 50, verse 7 and 9. It is the Lord God who helps me. They find themselves rooted and grounded in a covenant history. 51 and following. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah who bore you. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Isn't so much of our pursuit of listening to other voices, of merely humans, isn't so much of our pursuit in that trying to find meaning and significance and value? This person tells me that if I lose 10 pounds, I'll be attractive. This person tells me that if I eat this kind of food, I'll be a good person, is justification by diet. This person tells me if I don't eat that food, I'll be a good person. This person tells me X, Y, and Z, I have to have this political party. Isn't so much of that terribly exhausting pursuit about finding meaning and significance and value? And it's exhausting. But the Lord says, those who listen to me, those who obey the voice of my servant, the Lord Jesus, they find my help. They find vindication. They are not put to shame. And even we're told, 51 verses 6 and 8, we have an eternal salvation. We are given comfort, 51:3. We're brought into flourishing, where there's joy and gladness, thanksgiving, and the voice of song, where the wilderness becomes like Eden and our deserts become like the garden of the Lord. Now, that isn't guaranteed in this life. It doesn't mean that just because you listen to the Lord on Sunday morning that your Monday's going to go real well. But it does mean that you will have the help that you need in the midst of the difficulty. Because you are, by faith in Jesus, connected to the one who is eternal. What did Jesus say? He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. We can have life even in the here and now, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of great pain and suffering. Because our hope is not merely temporal. Our hope is not simply for a comfortable life in the here and now. But when the Lord has said, you were made for eternity, we've listened, we've paid attention, and we know, based on his word, that we were made for something more than what this world by itself can offer us. And so we're living for the next world, confident that God is at work, even in the midst of this world, making us more and more like himself, more and more fit for that coming kingdom that we by faith participate in. Didn't Jesus himself summarize this distinction between listening to what is godly and what is ungodly well when he ended his sermon in Matthew 5 through 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus paints the image of two men building a house. One builds his house on a stone foundation. The other built the house on sand. The reality is, storms came to both of them. The wind and the waves blew and beat against both of them. The house that was founded on the rock survived the storm. The house that was founded, built on the sand, fell. And great was the fall of it. Beloved, God is concerned that his people listen to him, that they be guided by his voice, that his voice be what is primary to them, that his word be what shapes our life and moves us in the direction he would have us to go. To that end, Isaiah 50 and 51, in these chapters, God helps us discern his voice by distinguishing between what is temporal and what is eternal, what is merely human and what is divine. He does so by exposing to us the end results of feeding on either one. Make no mistakes, the storms will come, but has your house been founded on the rock or on sand? The temporal, merely human voices lead to futility, destruction, torment, weariness, shame, darkness, and dismay. The extent to which you're experiencing these things, either as one of these things or some combination of these things, the extent to which you're experiencing these things now is directly related to which voices you're listening to. The eternal voice leads us to rest, even in this life, a rest that transcends the pain and difficulty, the storms, leads to God's help in the midst of the difficulty and the pain and the hardship. Listening to the voice of the Lord leads to a vindication when others speak about you falsely. Trusting in the Lord leads to a comfort, even to a flourishing in the midst of the wilderness. And praise God, it leads to an eternal salvation. Listen to Jesus, the Savior, pick up on and fulfill these themes when he speaks in John chapter 10. There Jesus says, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Beloved, what are we listening to? What voice is loudest in your ear? Whose voice is your heart most receptive and attentive to? To whom do you give your attention? To the extent that social media helps foster your love for God and your trust in God, to the extent that it enables your ability to recognize his voice and promote his glory, your love of eternal things, praise God. Tweet to your heart's content. But to the extent to which social media focuses your attention on earthly, temporal things, such that your heart now is set on what is temporal and earthly, to the extent that social media distracts you from the eternal and the essential for your soul, not so good. Do you see how what you listen to shapes what you do? It shapes your heart's affections. It shapes the direction and trajectory of your life. To the extent that a respected leader keeps you focused on God's word and his work in the world, fostering your love for God and his people, giving you a greater heart of compassion and concern for the lost, enables you more to participate in the global mission of God, praise the Lord. But to the extent to which listening to that leader makes you more cynical, makes you quicker to judge and dismiss, be annoyed with fellow believers in Jesus, less empathetic to the needs of the lost? Not so good. You see how the voices we listen to shape who we are? To the extent that your podcast and blog consumption is genuinely fostering in you the fruit of the Spirit, praise God. Podcast away, my friend. But the extent to which your consumption of even Christian media, be it sermons or podcasts or book reviews, the extent to which your consumption of Christian media is fostering in you a self-confidence and an arrogance, a superiority, a rigidity, a disdain for fellow Christians? Not so good. Beloved, we have the eternal Word of God that leads to an eternal salvation that we can partake of today by faith in this Jesus. The merely human and demonic voices seek to distract us from our central calling to trust God, to rely upon Him, to obey His voice. If we would follow Christ, we will grow in being humbly attentive listeners to God as He speaks. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Make it true of us, Lord God Almighty. Amen.